Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast. This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts. This is the Mark Reardon Show on 97.1 FM Talk.
I don't know if this is going to develop into a story, but at the top of the hour, Fred, you know this, I'm always, you know, scrolling through the X, formerly Twitter. And there was an interesting video that just got uploaded from, let's see which account this is, guy by the name of Cam Higbee. And it's, I don't know who that is, Rob Smith. I follow Rob. He reposted it. So African-American conservative Rob Smith, very outspoken. But there's a video, and what it appears to be is a civil discussion that is taking place between two white kids, maybe more than two. The camera might not have caught all of them, with MAGA hats on, okay, sitting at a table with a microphone in front of them. They have microphones, doing kind of a Charlie Kirk thing, trying to have a conversation about, you know, and this happened to be, and I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think Tennessee State University is a historically black, you know, university.
They're an HBCU.
Right, exactly. So, two white kids. It was very civil. I watched, you know, the conversation. They asked questions back and forth. And then, in the middle of the video, and this is when you walked in, I was watching this, it just started getting hot. And I'm not sure there was anything that really set off the people. There was a small group that was around the table. It looked like maybe only a dozen people. Well, then someone went and grabbed their signs. And then it started getting out of control. And then you had people threatening the white kids. And there were cops that were there that were, you know, basically trying to keep things from getting worse. But it's just outrageous. And if you watch the video, and maybe I'll send this to you, Ethan, for tomorrow, and we can dig into it a little bit. The white kids didn't do anything wrong. Right. They're just sitting there trying to have the conversation. Even when things start to get heated and there's a bit of a the tweet that I'm looking at says it was I don't think it's a riot, but it's certainly the mob starts to grow and it gets out of control. So that's something that I kind of watched at the top of the hour. I have to mention the anniversary party because we're going to be a big part of this. I was in Milwaukee in 2000. The radio station 97.1 FM Talk started in October of 2000. And we're going to celebrate our 25th anniversary party with some VIP tickets available as well. If you want to come for free, you can do that, but you have to RSVP at 971talk.com/events. It's coming up Thursday, October 23rd. Is today Thursday? I believe it is.
It is.
Right? So is that three Thursdays from now? I'm never good at that math. Or is it 4, 1, 2, 3? Three Thursdays from now. Fred knew the answer. He just didn't want to make me look bad.
What? Say the date again?
October 23rd.
You want to know how old I was?
When?
In October of 2000.
You were a month old.
I was barely a month old.
Yeah, right? Because you just had your birthday that we forgot about. Right. So the party's going to be on that Thursday at Lit Cigar Lounge in Chesterfield, indoor and outdoor. It's over by where the factory is. We're going to do our show live from 3 to 6 p.m. I'm told that we'll be hijacked a little bit in the middle of the show for some things that are specific to the anniversary. Now, the VIP tickets, I think we're undercharging for the VIP tickets because they're only $30.
We're for the people, Mark.
Well, you can't get a ticket for anything for $30 these days. That includes two drinks, a cigar cutter, appetizers. That's pretty good, right? Why is there no cannabis sponsor at this thing? That's what I would ask. Cox gets the cigar sponsor. I can't bring in a cannabis sponsor and have some you know, pre-rolls hung, you know, handed out that. I'm just saying, wouldn't that be fair? I don't think that's good. And you know what's funny about that comment? You know what the band is that's going to play that night? The singer, Pretty Weeds. Come on,
there you
man.
Go. There, see, there it is for you. That's like your...
that's
your comp.
Yeah, I think I might get kicked out of the FCC still, you know, basically polices us, and the federal laws involving marijuana are a little different than the state laws, as I think people know. We got to thank the sponsors, Rhino Shield, U.S. Men's Medical Center, Lore Wine and Spirits, Old Dominic Distillery, and Rayburn Wines. And we're doing a lot of work this year with Guns and Hoses, and there's going to be some partners on site, including the St. Louis Young Republicans, the St. Charles County Republican Central Committee, the St. Louis County Republican Central Committee. Fred, I know that you and Ethan have been working behind the scenes to a certain extent. We're getting Kenny Wallace referenced this yesterday.
Well,
I think you're taking, like, people are giving the happy birthday 97.1 FM Talk greetings.
Yes. Oh, yeah. That's
you're
right.
Recording
yep,
those,
yep,
right?
We're working on those.
I wasn't making that up.
A couple of Jimmy Fallon ones have been airing today. So we have a bunch of them. We're going to get, I think, more coming in.
Did we have Jennings do one?
I think we did have Jennings do one, didn't we?
Yeah, Kenny
Wallace. So that should be up there soon. Yeah. Kenny Wallace's, I'm sure, will be up there soon. Ryan Wiggins has a bunch of them.
Well, we should have a bunch of them. I was not consulted on that. I bet I give some. We should have Ted Nugent do one.
Brian Kilmeade?
Well, we should have Uncle Ted do one, Fred,
that
don't you think?
I bet he would.
Sure.
Yeah. Be great.
Will you remind me? Send me an email about that, and I'll get with him, and I know he'll do it. It's just a matter of, you know, making sure he's not in the woods. Well, honestly, I mean, I'm just being honest. Right. At this time of year, it's hunting season.
No,
so.
but for real, you know, it's a great opportunity to come and, you know, meet Annie Fry, Mark Reardon, Mark Cox, and to come and celebrate 25 years of 97.1 with us. So go get the tickets.
Yeah, it's an interesting, you know, and we had a meeting today, and Fred, you know how much I love meetings, and I wasn't even sure
guy.
it was the big boss here, Becky Damian, who's our big boss, and Steve Moore is our boss. So Annie and Mark and I had been invited to this meeting. And, you know, we didn't really know what it was about. It was actually all positive. We were talking about some things in the future, and she was just updating us. But it's never, you know, it's never quite clear sometimes what's going to be said. But this radio station, what I wanted to say, and I kept my mouth shut during this discussion, but I've said it before, and I'll say it again here on the air, is, look, I like to think that I've worked for three legendary heritage news talk stations. And I'm including KFRU in Columbia, even though it's a small market. But it was a, you know, if you go back to the 80s in particular, when I got my start in radio, we all depended on radio because there wasn't a whole lot out there, right? And there was AM talk radio, there wasn't FM talk radio. We all had to get school closings from the radio. I remember listening to KMOX, Fred, and man, I was in Parkway, so that took a while to get to that one. But we treated media obviously very different back then. So I worked for KFRU, I worked for WTMJ in Milwaukee, which is a huge station, was. I mean, the media landscape has changed. It was, TMJ stands for the Milwaukee Journal, which was the company that took over the Sentinel, became the Journal Sentinel. But that was a big station, Packers flagship. We had the Bucks, we had the Badgers, we had the Brewers. I mean, everybody came on WTMJ, right? And this was in the early 2000s when this station was just getting on the air. Then I come in 2006 and I worked at KMOX. Huge, one of the biggest stations in the country, right? One of the biggest. Fred, you've been there for all these years. So they call me when I'm about to hit golf balls. I'm at Family Golf. I remember this. I'm in my car. It's February, I think. And it's Steve and Becky on the phone at the same time.
What
and
year?
I didn't think I was going to get fired on the phone.
This year?
No, this was 5 years ago.
Five years ago. Okay.
So, no, I referenced that meeting this morning. No, they call me. I'm about to hit golf balls. And they say, are you ready for this? We're going to flip the shows. And I'm like, well, what are you talking about? We're going to take your show that's on in the afternoon from 2 to 5 at that time on KMOX. I followed Rush Limbaugh. And we're going to put your show on 97.1 FM Talk, and we're going to take Dave Glover, who is in this time slot, and we're going to put it to KMOX. Now, I'm just going to give you my perspective on that particular phone call. I was thrilled. I could not have been happier in that moment. And I was so glad that I landed on 97.1 because, to a certain extent, it was always going to be my destiny in a weird way, because truth be told, in the early 2000s, now this, you brought the newspaper clippings in a couple of weeks ago. This station started very different than, you know, we are right now, and that it evolved to, because they had Clark Howard, Dr. Laura, who else was on? There were a bunch of like syndicated hosts. They did that thing at night with Delilah, I think. Wasn't that on 97.1 at the time? Because they were trying to appeal to women. mainly. So then, and I don't know when the decision was made, but you know, the guy that was running 97.1 FM Talk was someone, I mean, stupid to not use his name. He's not here anymore. Jeff Allen, who I did mornings with in Columbia, Missouri. And even before Jamie Allman was the morning guy, I think he was the original morning guy on this, you know, edition of the radio station. Jeff had called me in Milwaukee about maybe, hey, do you want to talk about working on 97.1? I'm like, well, I always kept our conversations open. And this would happen. Like every time Glover's contract was up, they called me. This is a true story. Hey, would you like to sit down? And I always kept the lines of communication open. And then it was just weird because Fred and I worked for CBS, which was then bought by Entercom because CBS ditched all the radio properties. And then we ended up Entercom, which became Odyssey, bought several other stations that were in a different radio group, Hubbard. And that's where this incarnation of the radio station has been. But obviously, it's had some great talent over the years and a lot of success. But what I was going to say is kind of circling back to my Heritage Radio station comments is, and this is just the truth, I've done personal appearances for my entire radio career from different stations, live remotes. I've never, ever, even after working at two monster 50,000 watt AM Heritage stations, I've never seen an audience that is so loyal, that is informed, that wants to engage, that shows up at events. And we have a, you know, we have a smaller audience than those big stations, which bring in big numbers for a shorter time. But I have been for 5 years blown away by the response. And Fred, you've seen it. When we have Kilmeade in town, the listeners, they know everything about us. They know you, they know Sue, they know Ethan, they pay attention, they listen. They may not always like us, you know, right? Because different opinions, but it's just, it's a unique radio station. And I've done this my whole life. And I'm just telling you that you guys out there are unique. And that's what keeps us going. And it's special. So we're going to have a great birthday celebration. We'll get some of those past voices on the air. They said to me, they said, well, we got to have Glover. You know, Glover's a big part of this. I said, I'll have Glover on the show. I don't care. Dave and I get along. So we'll, you know.
It's great.
It's, you know, KFKS, just really loyal listeners. And every day I'm learning of new listeners, even in my neighborhood. When I'm walking Luna around the neighborhood, people will come up and say, hey, I know you work at KFTK. You know, and then they'll just start talking to me. And it's like, well, I didn't know that. Well, yeah, we listen all the time.
Well, you know, I had almost been killed by that city bus the other night. So yeah. I told that story when this is a true story. I was at this red light at 14th and Market, and it was a green light for me. And this bus comes barreling through. Well, I let a couple of people over at Metro in the leadership, you know about this. And the one guy responded today and said, yeah, I don't want to out him because maybe people, he doesn't want people knowing he listens to my show. But he said, yeah, you know, I listen every afternoon. I still think that the Doug High story is really funny.
That is good.
So one time, so I don't know Wesley Bell. I've never met Wesley Bell. I've never had him on the show, I don't think, right? When he was St. Louis County Prosecutor. Now, of course, he's a member of Congress. He took over for Cori Bush. So when he did some freshman orientation earlier this year, they're at Harvard University. And Doug High is a former spokesperson for the RNC. He's a Republican consultant. He's been a guest on the show many, many times. He's got a very distinct voice. He's got a very deep, Doug's got a radio voice, right? He's got a better voice than I do, that's for sure. So he goes up and he introduces himself to Wesley and says, well, I'm Doug High. And Wesley Bell says to him, according to Doug, he says, oh yeah, I know who you are. I hear you on Mark Reardon's show all the time. I'm like, hey, there you go. We got a little,
that's pretty cool.
Yeah, so I thought that was a fun story. So anyway, I guess that's my way of saying we have deep appreciation for our audience, and we can't, look, I say this sometimes, and I wish I was exaggerating. Ladies and gentlemen, I have no other skills. I cannot do anything else. So I cannot make a living if I'm not opening my flap on the radio. I would be homeless. I'd be over in this park probably right now, and the cops would be shooing me off.
You're a professional mouth flapper.
Right, but what I mean is that I can't do what I do without that support.
Sure.
And without the sponsor support. You know, we had Susan O'Ward in yesterday, so all of these things will be celebrated at our birthday party here in a few weeks.
One other thing about our sponsors. All of our sponsors that we have on the air are great talkers. They know their business, and they can tell it to us and to our listeners. It's great.
Yeah, and the thing that I love about the sponsors is that the passion that they have. You're right, though, Fred. A lot of them are, look, a lot of these people have been doing it for a long time, like the Gelmans and Morelli Tuck Pointing, and the list goes
George
on.
George Rosenthal with Throttle Nine.
Right. Well, George is awesome. He's great, too. But you're right. They're experts in their own way on their topics, and they're very passionate. Susan is a good example of that. Susan L. Ward, who came on yesterday. So, yeah, it's a unique little community that we have. And I'm always, the one thing that I don't know, and I do hear from lefties every once in a while. But Fred, you know this. Like when I was on Camel X, I was attacked all the time. I couldn't barely get off the air. My voicemail was flush with hatred that I just deleted. I could always tell if there was like a 2.5 minute, 3 minute voicemail that was from someone that hated me, and I would just delete. Now that doesn't, you know, happen on this radio station. I don't get as much vitriol and hate. It usually comes on Twitter if I say something on that platform. But we have moderate lefties, I think, that listen. They want to know what's going on, and they pay attention to this station, and we appreciate them as well. And you're all welcome at our birthday party, because we'd love to see you. Sue is making her way into the building, we think. So one of the reasons Mark is talking so much right now is because, I sometimes have to just be honest, we had technical difficulties. Sue very rarely does her show, this show, from home, but she had to. She's moving. She's closing on her house. But the technology failed us this afternoon, Ethan, didn't it?
It did indeed. And she's a couple of minutes from getting into studio, and we're going to start Sue's News here.
We're going to try to do Sue's News
in just a moment. Yes, okay. An express Sue's News.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, hang on here. We're getting this to start a little bit late. We're tardy, but let's get going.
These allegations are deeply concerning.
Does the president have any comment?
We're not going to comment.
It's not clear messaging.
No. And now, Sue's News, presented by U.S. Men's Medical Center.
Hold on. Okay. I'll tell you what, you got to give me 5 seconds to download this. All right, here we go.
This is a disaster of a show today, isn't it?
No, yeah, but it's entertaining. Okay. I thought what you did last was very absorbing.
Right, good.
People, I would like to welcome you to National Fried Scallops Day.
Oh, there you go.
I like a fried scallop. Fried at seafood.
Wait a second.
What's happening?
I tried it once and I liked it.
Huh. Okay, then why wouldn't you try some other things?
Well...
So here's what I've decided. We're not only going to get Fred a new hairstyle in a couple of weeks, we're going to take him out to a seafood dinner.
I like it. I mean, you know, that makes sense to me. All right. It's also National Smarties Day, the candy.
Oh, my God, Sue. You know what my memory is of this?
No.
I went to Fred, Lutheran, fellow Lutheran, right?
Yes.
Went to my church when I was a kid. And every Sunday, this is the only reason I think kids went to church at the time, this woman had Smarties that she handed out to the kids every Sunday. It was like the best thing
of
my childhood.
I think that was Wisconsin.
It was Wisconsin.
Was it?
Yeah.
Oh, that's kind of nice. No, I don't like them. When I saw it in my Halloween basket, I thought, ugh.
They're not that good.
No, they're cheap.
Yeah.
They're chalky.
But when I was 6 years old,
That's a good point. It was free and you were there. And it's National Name Your Car Day. Now, I used to do this. I don't do this anymore. Do you name your cars, Fred?
One car is red, and it's called Ruby.
Okay. All right.
But my car is a Tucson. It's not named.
It's not named. No, what about you, Mark Reardon?
Well, I don't name my cars, but what I have is I have an app. You guys know I have my remote app.
Yes.
And I have to name my car on there. So I called it Jaggy McJaggerton.
Okay. All right.
Because it's a Jaguar.
Well, I get that.
Yeah, there you go.
Thanks
I thought
for
that was kind of funny. Yeah.
Yet again.
I didn't know that.
Uh-huh, I don't bring that up very often. That's you know that because it's pretentious, and I get it. So I don't mention the name of my car hardly ever, but I had to do it there.
Well, that's pretty funny.
Okay.
And on this day in history, oh, speaking of cars, I do this in honor of my own father. 66 years ago today, in 1959, Chevy debuted the Corvair, a rear-engine compact car. And my dad had one, and he would take it to car shows. And then when he passed away, he gave it to my Uncle Dick, who also had a Corvair, and then he would win awards with them, taking him different car shows. Isn't that nice?
Oh, that's really cool.
And side note, when they took us from traffic in helicopters and put us in planes, because it was cheaper with the fuel. I sat in the back of this thing, and it reminded me of the Corvair. So it's a good thing we're on the ground. That's all I'm saying.
What color was it?
Oh, the Corvair, kind of like a tan. I'm sure there's an official word for it or color for it, but there was a tan one and a white one. And on this day in history, 44 years ago, what? In 1981, the Police released their fourth album with one of my favorite songs on it.
I can't believe that this was the fourth album in 81.
Yes!
And I was into the Police in the late
70s.
Same. Did you go see?
I saw the original. I saw the Synchronicity tour.
Same. We were there. Yeah. Fred, were you there?
Yeah,
all three of us were at the Synchronicity.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
That's cute.
And then I went when they were here for the, you know, whatever they called it. It was, I don't know if it was the reunion tour, but they did like.
I wasn't there for that.
It was like 10 years ago. And it wasn't as good. I've seen Sting about 7 times. Though.
Okay. Well, as you know.
Had to get it up there with the volume. There
he enjoys his own body odor. I don't know.
I've been told, yes.
Yes, I don't know why. And on this day in history, okay, so that was 44 years ago. 43 years ago today, it was 1982. Then this song hit number one, and I feel like we heard it 80,000 times.
This is a great song, though. This is when he was just John Cougar, I think.
Yeah.
I don't think he was, you know, he was actually, back then, he was like Little Johnny Cougar. They had like a nickname. I don't think he liked it very much, Little Johnny Cougar. And the first time I saw Little Johnny Cougar was warming up at the arena. And I believe it was for Heart. It might have been for Heart, but he was a warm-up.
Yeah.
I could see that.
And then I met him at the Opera House a few years later, and he was a jackass. But that's okay. His band was really cool. But
let me guess.
Yeah.
He was smoking.
Oh, of course he was. Everyone was smoking back then backstage, wherever you were. Yes.
I mean, even when they have interviews on television with him, he's smoking. It's bad.
You know, it's funny because he has the reputation of not being the most friendliest guy. And,
well, yeah.
You know, I was witness to that. But his guitar player, and I can't remember, I think his name was Larry. I think he might still be in the band. Nicest guy ever.
Oh, that's nice.
Came up to me and introduced himself. And I was like a 17-year-old kid at the time.
Okay, well, that's super
nice.
Had
a good experience with his band.
The 30th anniversary of Everybody Loves Raymond, they're going to do a special, and it's going to air on CBS on November 24th. So if you want to see that, they're going to have the old cast and kind of dedicate it to the two who have passed away.
Don't you think we can get Alex Rich's new buddy, Phil Rosenthal, on the air to talk about that?
Yes, that's
I
think we should be able to.
Okay, we should try
that. He's involved in this thing, too. And, well, finally in Sue's News, let's have today's random fact. Here it is. The most abused Social Security number has been used in fraud by at least 40,000 different people. It belonged to a secretary at a wallet company. And when Social Security cards were new, the boss wanted to see how they looked in a wallet, took a picture of hers, and then everybody stole it. Because they used it in advertising.
That'll do it.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNC's apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not
outside of Cleveland. You know, think of the Browns, outside of
Browns. You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, this will be a good example here. Nah, there's never any media bias out there, and like not even in the way they pose questions.
The Democratic proposal is designed to prevent millions of Americans from losing their health insurance, losing Medicaid coverage, or paying higher health care premiums. Why are you against that?
That's an absurd statement.
Oh, my God.
44 Senate Democrats voted to reject a clean, nonpartisan, continuing funding resolution to keep the United States government open. The Democrats said instead that they wanted to give health care to illegal aliens instead of keeping critical services provided for the American citizens. That's what happened, plain and simple.
The proposal does not provide health care for illegal immigrants.
It does, actually, because what it does is it unwinds the changes that Republicans put into the big, beautiful bill, the big signature legislation that we passed and signed into law.
Curtis Haukes here, managing editor of Newsbusters at the Media Research Center. That was George Stephanopoulos, I believe, if I recognize the voice, wasn't it?
Yeah, Snuffleupagus.
I always loved it when Rush nicknamed him Snuffleupagus. That was one of my favorite Limbaugh nicknames for anyone. How are you, yeah. Curtis?
Doing good, my friend. I can't take credit for this, but someone said, just think of, like, this is as if Stephen Miller goes from the White House to hosting Meet the Press in, like, 5 years. That's how absurd this is.
Yeah, look, there's so much nonsense that's going on right now. Look, I even saw a poll today about the trust in the legacy media, and it's at a rock bottom as usual. But the problem is, and this is what I discussed this with Carl Cannon earlier this afternoon. You have, with full willingness, George Stephanopoulos, The View, CBS This Morning, whatever. They're all on the talking point side, right? So Mike Johnson, a Republican perspective, like, do you think the people are hearing the talking points like that realize what Speaker Johnson said, how there were Democrats who crossed over in the House, but certainly not enough in the Senate to get this passed. So really, who's shutting down the government?
Yeah, I think as a side note, this is a failure oftentimes of Republicans to message and, explain what's going on here, to really just hit back at this absolute nonsense, to explain. They're playing word games. It's a sleight of hand. The vice president probably had the best explanation of what's going on with the shutdown fight and the illegal immigrants and these things. What happened was, all these people came in, millions of people, during the Biden administration. They were processed by Alejandro Mayorkas' DHS and given court dates for, 2029 or something, and said, good luck, we'll see you then. And by doing so, that allowed them to tap into the social safety net of this country. And therefore, if something happened, we all know people go to the ER because their tummy hurts. Okay, there's all kinds of things like that that happen now. You can talk to EMTs or ER nurses, and they'll tell you. The legal immigrants, they don't have any way to pay, so they just leave. And what the Democrats are doing is they're saying, no, we need to backstop this. We need to make sure the hospitals don't go out of business because, places, ERs where immigrants or illegal immigrants are going to surge are sanctuary cities. So maybe that would disincentivize sanctuary cities if we said, we're not actually going to backfill your medical system to prop up all of these people who shouldn't be here. So it's word games. Non-citizens was something that DeCopo floated, Tony did on CBS, and even that wasn't enough for Elizabeth Warren.
Yeah, it's just a bunch of nonsense. Now, let me offer some hope in a sea of legacy media ridiculousness, sadness, and disaster. Because this just came out. You and I have talked about this.
Yep.
What I'm about to say could be potentially one of the biggest changes in the legacy media landscape in maybe in history. Okay? I don't know. You tell me. Because it is now being reported that Paramount will announce a deal to acquire Barry Weiss's Free Press. And not only that, that's big enough. Okay? But Barry will be brought to help run CBS News next week. Her title will be editor-in-chief. She will report directly to David Ellison. This is a huge, huge story, and I cannot wait to see how their fellow legacy media members will report on this, because that means big changes are coming to CBS News.
Yeah, I tweeted over this news, first broken by Puck Dylan Byers, former CNN media reporter. He's been all over this, that it's going to be about Monday. They'll probably make it official and put pen to paper. This is the first sign of hope for a legacy liberal media outlet in quite a long time. And you and I have talked about on this show many times, Barry Weiss is not MAGA.
No, not at all. No.
But the point remains, she is a sensible, sane person, whom a lot of liberal journalists dislike because, let's be honest, being Jewish. That is why they don't like her, in large part. And the thing I'll say is, none of this would have happened, Barry Weiss starting the Free Press and ending up now where she is at CBS News, if the loons inside the New York Times newsroom would not have had a conniption over the Tom Cotton column about sending in the National Guard to quell the BLM protests. She quit. As part of that, people bullied her out of the Times, and that set her on the course for where she is now. It's truly remarkable to see. the people at CBS that are going to end up rage quitting
They're going to freak. They're freaking out. They've been freaking out for weeks. I can't wait either. Now, then the question then becomes, how much can she actually achieve? Because one of the things that Barry does, and to your point, Curtis, she's no, you know, MAGA conservative, but she's offering coverage of stories in a fair way that the New York Times and CBS News and ABC, they ignore these stories. You'll see content in the Free Press, investigative pieces that are really good. We have some of the reporters on a regular basis.
Yeah,
and
Gabe
it's
Kaminsky's
good stuff.
Terrific.
Which one?
Gabe Kaminsky. He's one of our MRC Bulldog Award winners earlier this year. He's a good friend of mine. He is an excellent reporter.
But they do it in a way that they're not allowed to do it at the New York Times, because they actually can veer from the narrative. In fact, if they find that the narrative might be a little different, they actually expose that, and they report candidly. Now, I've seen plenty of criticism by Barry and the FP, and by the way, some of it's appropriate. I don't think they're doing it in a partisan, hackery way. They're saying, look, there are different perspectives here. So I'm so hopeful that maybe this changes the landscape. You know, Bernard Goldberg wrote the book Bias, I think, in 1997 or 1998. Yep. He was at CBS News for decades. He was the guy that exposed Dan Rather and all the stuff that was happening there. He was like the original Yuri Berliner, if you will. Yuri Berliner is the guy that came out. Right, but he did it at CBS News. And I've talked about this, you know, literally media bias for three decades. Even with all that out there, and even with Yuri Berliner, Carl Kahn and I were talking about this earlier, a lot of people that are, you know, in their bubbles, Curtis, they don't want to believe that there's a different perspective to some of these stories. They just don't want to believe. They don't believe it. And mainly that's because of Trump. So if CBS puts a product out there that perhaps is a little bit more fair and approaches stories in a different, sensible way, that's encouraging.
Yeah, I think one of the biggest misnomers about conservatives is that we don't believe in, like, a free press, and that we just want a media system where everyone agrees with us. And that couldn't be any further from the truth. You know, we want a news media that simply shares all views and opinions and respects the opinions of the American people. I think that is what's so missing. And I just find it so ironic that this word leaks out today about Barry Weiss coming to take over CBS News on the same day that, as you kind of alluded to at the onset here, the Gallup poll comes out about trust in the media, all-time record low of 28%. First time it ever goes below 30. And it started in started dipping below 50 in 2004 when Dan Rather, fake but accurate, story about George W. Bush as he was running for re-election. So I just find that just deliciously ironic that really the year that caused the bottom to fall out for a lot of Americans when it came to trust in the media, you know, it's the same day that Barry Weiss may come in and actually provide some real balance and return CBS to the roots, the kind of almost, you know, I don't know, mythological roots that I think a lot of people have of a certain age about what CBS News used to be.
And let me offer an example of that. And one of the reasons that I pick on CBS in particular is there was a guy that got fired, and I'm glad he got fired from CBS, Jeff Pegues. And I'll also talk about Bill Whitaker, because they're both with CBS News. Bill's still a 60 Minutes correspondent. Both of them came to my city, and both of them did stories on our now disgraced circuit attorney, Kim Gardner, who was opposed by a lot of people on the left, Curtis, not just right-wing talk show hosts, right? A lot of my friends here in St. Louis who are sane Democrats wanted her out. There were African-Americans who came forward finally and said, we want her out. But they came into this town and they painted all this as a bunch of racist St. Louisans just trying to kick out this friendly progressive who just wants to, you know, give social workers to these criminals, which is what she wanted to do. It was outrageous. And then, you know, this is what happens with the legacy media. When time passes, and it's very, very clear what this situation in St. Louis is all about. And unfortunately, a young girl from Nashville had to lose her legs for some of this to happen, Janae Edmondson. They didn't come back and correct the narrative. There's no effort to say, oh, you know what? We did this story about St. Louis being so racist and they're trying to boot out their circuit attorney. How about we do the follow-up story that shows how many cases she refused to prosecute, how all these things and criminals were left falling through the cracks, free to commit other crimes out there because of this circuit attorney. And I offered Jeff Pegues, Curtis. I said, I'll give you Democrats. Don't interview me. I have no credibility, right? I'll give you Democrats. But they ignore that because they don't want to hear that side of the story. So if Barry Weiss has any any, just even if it's like 15% influence on getting these stories to shift in a more fair direction, that might be a victory.
Let me just say that I have full confidence, what little I know, that I have full about this whole situation from people. I have full confidence in this.
I love it. I love to hear you say that, because this has been bubbling. The word came out, I get about a month ago, that this might happen. And now, as you mentioned, you tweeted this out, Dylan Byers is reporting on this. So I find this fascinating. And just, there are going to be heads that will explode.
On-air resignations. Let's do it.
Oh, I can't. I mean, now I've been checking CNN out quite a bit, just because their heads are exploding over the shutdown and the Jimmy Kimmel stuff, and it's just immensely entertaining. So I might have to sample a little CBS News here in the next few weeks. Because, look, let's face it. They think that some of these correspondents and reporters think that they're better than everyone else. They think that they, you know, should run the show. And
they do.
And that there's a new sheriff in town, Barry Weiss. Thank you, Curtis. Sue, I don't know if you heard me say this yesterday. I think I said it on the air, because I realized in real time that this dude who was the superintendent of schools for the Des Moines Public Schools, who was arrested by ICE a week ago.
Yeah.
He used to work here in St. Louis.
What?
Yeah. How about that? So this was, let me pull this
up. Wait, where?
St. Louis Public Schools. Where else?
Of course.
I mean, the former, it says that the former director of human resources for the Mill Creek Township School District, Melody Ellington, claimed, this was another claim against this guy. And in the Associated Press story, they say that this person, Melody Ellington, claimed that she faced unspecified, unlawful treatment after she was hired and worked for Roberts from July 1st, 2021 through September 30th, 2022. But here's what's interesting. It says the two previously worked together in St. Louis Public Schools from 2015 to 2018, where Ellington was budget director and Roberts was a network superintendent. So he probably hired her, and then I'm not sure if there was a Me Too moment, but there was a settlement agreement, and, you know, she got some money out of that deal. But maybe the biggest part of this story has to be the fact, and this is still very confusing to me, you know, he's not here legally, and when they're on to him, I guess he realizes it. He gets $3,000 in cash. He's got a gun. He, you know, ditches the car, so he's running from law enforcement.
Jeez.
But they had to admit that not only did he fail to provide proof that he was legally eligible to work for his district, but he didn't get his PhD. He went to Morgan State University, and, you know, these consulting firms, they make a lot of money going out there.
Yeah, they do.
And they'll get paid $75,000, $100,000 to go out, and we're going to hire them to do our next search for our superintendent. And you know why we do that in a school district, especially in an urban school district? We want to make sure we're checking off the right boxes with DEI. So he doesn't. It doesn't matter if he's got a PhD, because he's African-American and he's all about, you know, changing the system. So they hire him up in Des Moines. The woman who is the chair of the school board up there, her name is Jackie Norris. This gets interesting, too. She's running for United States Senate seat in Iowa, and she's Michelle Obama's former chief of staff.
Wow.
So there's all kinds of red flags that are obvious from the start. The board ignores it. They hire him, you know, anyway. Yeah, he needed to resign, and he did resign a couple of days ago, but this isn't a mistake. It's a dereliction of duty, not unlike the school board here in St. Louis, which, by the way, if you haven't put these things together, you should, because we hire, I mean, it's so sad for these kids. You know, we sit here and we talk about these issues on a regular basis, and let's connect the dots. How many of the issues that we have in downtown St. Louis, and we talked about Columbia yesterday, have to do with kids that are undereducated? They don't have any hope for their future because they haven't been offered any hope, because you got people that are working in these districts that aren't looking out for the kids, they're looking out for themselves. And that's what happened here with the superintendent that we had, who decided to turn a $17 million surplus into a $32 million deficit, right?
Oh, unbelievable.
That's pretty good work. But think about, these are the people that we trust and that we're supposed to put, you know, in leadership positions to shepherd these kids through the education system, and that's what they do.
How did he get through?
They didn't care.
They just didn't check?
Well, this is where I'm a little confused on the PhD part, because They said that they knew that he had not completed the requirements. But what superintendent of schools, or even a principal?
Oh.
Principals are PhDs. They're doctors, right? So you can't get positions. You can't even, I think it's a little silly that someone who doesn't have like a master's degree or PhD can't go in and teach perhaps at a university level, because I think that, and they do allow for that, but you know what I mean?
Right,
typically you have to get your level of expertise stamped on a piece of paper. But this one's interesting. So I don't know how you can even reckon with your constituents in that school district to say, yeah, we kind of knew a little bit of this about this guy. You know, he hadn't completed his PhD, but we don't really care because he's a nice guy. And that's the other weird thing about it. He was very well liked. He seemed to be someone who kind of stood out in the room as a leader.
Right. That's how they do it. It's like that movie where he faked being a pilot the entire time. Catch Me If You Can.
Oh, yeah. Somebody else referenced that. Right. Yeah. The Frank not Frank Absher.
That's
the radio guy.
You're right.
Frank Abigail or something like that.
But yeah. These people, almost, it's like a role they play.
So here, let's see here. He said that he had received his doctoral degree from Oregon State University, while attorney Laura Powell documents that he received an EDD from an online university in 2021, years before that. Well, that's after he worked here, let's face it. Jeez. He continued to further the lie that his doctorate was from Oregon State. A university spokesperson spoke with the Des Moines Register on Monday, said that Roberts had attended their school from the fall of 2002 to the spring of 2007. He was 5 years at the school, but had not obtained a degree from the school. He was using doctor honorific for many years before he got the EDD. I don't even know what that is in 2021. But they have, you know, they have the paperwork where he is applying for grants and doing other things, making claims that he had a doctorate from Oregon State University. So this whole thing is a disaster. And now it's a little unclear as to where he's going to go. He's from Guyana. He, in fact, did serve in the Guyanese military. And, you know, his life story is actually kind of interesting. But wow, what a mess they're in Des Moines, Iowa, for sure.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.